don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, everybody, welcome to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. This one's going to be a little bit more technical than all the ones I've done previously. I know some people might consider that kind of dry to listen to. I'll try to make it as interesting as I can. But I know that there are also people who are as geeky as I am out there who love to read this kind of stuff, even though I might only understand 80% of it. But this one is posted on blockstream.com. For anybody who's been in the Bitcoin space for more than 6 hours, I'm sure you've heard of Blockstream. They are a company started by a couple of people, but the CEO is Adam Back, who was noted in the white paper of Bitcoin. He's essentially one of the all-stars of the crypto space. But Blockstream does a lot of funding and has hired a number of the developers to keep certain work going. And this is one that I've been keeping a close eye on about bulletproofs, just because they're such an interesting concept to me. I've never heard of anything like this until I heard about bulletproofs, and then I started digging, and it's really fascinating stuff. A blog post is written by Andrew Poelstra. It was posted on the 21st, so that was just yesterday. And again, on blockstream.com, but let's go ahead and just get into it. It is titled, Bulletproofs, Faster Range Proofs, and Much More. In 2015, we announced Confidential Transactions, or CT, as a headlining feature of the sidechain Elements Alpha. This feature replaced transaction amounts with Pedersen commitments, a cryptographic tool to hide the amounts while retaining the ability for anyone to verify that the amounts balanced within any particular transaction. A major difficulty with confidential transactions was that it made the transactions very large and slow to verify, because it required each transaction output to contain a range proof, a type of zero-knowledge proof that proves amounts are too small to overflow. While an ordinary digital signature is less than 100 bytes and takes less than 100 microseconds to verify, these range proofs were several kilobytes in size and took several milliseconds to verify. In practice, range proofs were the vast majority of transaction data in any transaction that used them. Though our range proofs based on Borromean ring signatures were the fastest and smallest in the literature, for the range sizes we needed and without a trusted setup, they were still quite large. Since 2015, there have been efforts to improve the efficiency of range proofs. In early 2017, Adam Back found a 24% reduction in range proof size, though with no verification performance improvement. Around this time, we had mentioned the problem to our friends and fellow cryptographers Dan Bona and Benedict Bunce at Stanford, who felt pretty confident there was room for improvement. What they eventually came up with astonished us. Smaller, faster, stronger. Based on a 2016 improvement in the space efficiency of discrete log-based zero-knowledge proofs from Boodle et al., bulletproofs are an even more space-efficient form of zero-knowledge proof. Importantly for our purposes, these proofs also have native support for committed values, such as Pedersen commitments and public keys. This lets us implement things such as range proofs in this general zero-knowledge framework without implementing the heavy machinery of elliptic curve arithmetic in zero knowledge. Stronger. To limit the size of transactions, our old range proofs constrained outputs to be in a range of size 2 to the 32nd. This limited outputs to about 43 Bitcoin, though this could be increased by reducing the granularity of proofs from 1 Satoshi to 10 or 100, or by increasing the minimum value from 0. These adjustments were possible but used explicit amounts, limiting the privacy provided by the system. These 32-bit range proofs were approximately 2.5 kibibytes in size. Just a side note here, most might not know the difference between kibibytes and kilobytes. Kibibytes is just the more accurate measurement done in binary, whereas kilobyte is a multiple of 10. So, you know, when you get a hard drive and it says it's a 500 gigabyte hard drive, but then you look at it and you check your size and it's actually 512 gigabytes, what you're actually looking at is 500 gibibytes, which is the factor of 2. There's always, it's just the same as with 1024 kilobytes is a megabyte, or they refer to it as a megabyte. It's actually 1 mebibyte, which is 2 to the 20th power. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's right, 2 to the 20th power. But I actually did not learn that until not too very long ago, but for all intents and purposes, just in thinking about it, 1 mebibyte equals 1 megabyte to a degree. Megabyte is just the popular term because it's easy. Mebibyte is the specific term that denotes the actual number, like the exact number of bytes. With Adam's optimization, they would have been 2 kibibytes in size. With bulletproofs, they would have been 610 bytes. With such small sizes, we might as well double the range to 64 bits, eliminating the need for any non-private adjustments. This would increase the paltry 610 bytes to 1220, right? Nope. In fact, a 64-bit bulletproof range proof is only 674 bytes. Smaller. The reason that we can double the range size while adding only 64 bytes to the proof size is that they grow logarithmically in size. This is done using a variant of the inner product argument from the Boodle et al. 2016 paper. Jonathan Boodle also helped Benedict and Dan develop bulletproofs. Specifically, the logarithmically sized inner product argument described in that paper was reduced even further in bulletproofs from 6 log n curve points to 2 log n. The same trick allows aggregation of multiple range proofs within a transaction into one, again with only a small size increase. An aggregate of 2 range proofs would be 738 bytes, of 4 would be 802, and of 8 would be 866. Each 64-bit classical range proofs would be over 40,000 bytes. Faster. This space savings is great, but our initial analysis of the technique showed that verification would be slower than the old range proofs. It appeared that verification of a single 64-bit proof would require more than 200 scalar point multiplications, each one an onerous 50 microsecond affair, while the old range proofs needed only 128. But after further analysis, we were able to combine many of the multiplications, reducing the total number to only 147. More importantly, we realized that unlike the old range proofs, none of these multiplications depended on each other, and we could do them all in one big batch. As part of our work on aggregate signatures, we knew how to batch multiply very quickly. Peter Woola, Greg Maxwell, Jonas Nick, Peter Detman, and myself had spent several months on this problem and had reduced the speed of 147 multiplications to only 15.5 microseconds each getting the total verification time of a bulletproof down to 2.3 milliseconds versus 5.8 milliseconds for the old proofs. This is already more than a doubling in speed, but because our batch multiplication gets faster the more points you give it, the performance numbers for aggregates are even more impressive. An aggregate of 8 64-bit bulletproofs can be verified in only 11.5 milliseconds versus 46.8 milliseconds for the old proofs, more than quadrupling the speed. But it gets even better. Bulletproofs support an extremely efficient form of batch verification. Of the 147 multiplications we need to do, 130 of them use the same points in every bulletproof, which means that during batch validation, these 130 multiplications can be combined, leaving only 17 new ones. In fact, this marginal cost increases only logarithmically. For aggregates of two ranges, each additional proof takes 19 extra points, and for aggregates of four, each proof takes 21. Note that we have introduced two similar but separate concepts. Aggregation is when a prover combines multiple range proofs into one, while batching is when a verifier checks multiple separate proofs at once. This means that two 64-bit range proofs can be validated in only 2.7 milliseconds, or 1.4 milliseconds per range. 500 range proofs can be validated in 130 milliseconds, or 0.26 milliseconds per range, which is a 23 times improvement over the old proofs. But it still gets better because of aggregation. 500 eightfold aggregates, so 4,000 ranges in total, can be validated in 305 milliseconds, or 76 microseconds per range, or a 75 times improvement over the old range proofs. This effect eventually maxes out around aggregates of 64 proofs, as the increasingly efficient scalar point multiplications stop being a dominant effect. At this point, we can batch validate in under 46 microseconds per range, a 125 times improvement. For reference, an elliptic curve digital signature algorithm, ECDSA, signature, takes approximately 55 microseconds. So at this level of aggregation, the range proof is not even the dominant part of transaction validation. Of course, we are unlikely to see many 64 output transactions on the blockchain, but this speed is certainly possible in non-blockchain contexts such as provisions. This verification is also memory efficient, taking under 100 kilobytes to validate a single range proof and scaling linearly with the size. You can prove anything if it's true. Bulletproofs are much more general than range proofs. They can be used to prove in zero knowledge arbitrary statements. They are equivalent in power to SNARKs or STARKs, but have native support for elliptic curve public keys and Pedersen commitments, so there is typically no need to implement EC math, elliptic curve, inside a program being proven. Also, unlike SNARKs, bulletproofs have full 128-bit security under standard assumptions with no trusted setup. And unlike STARKs, they are fast enough to prove and verify reasonably sized problems on typical computing hardware. As a specific example, consider a single run of the SHA-2 compression function. Our prover requires less than 30 megabytes of memory and about 21 seconds to prove knowledge of a SHA-2 preimage. Verification takes about 23 megabytes of memory and 75 milliseconds, but we can batch verify additional proofs in about 5 milliseconds and 13.4 kilobytes each. Our prover is more memory efficient than that for SNARKs. On the same system, a SNARK proof for SHA-2 takes only 4 seconds, but 75 megabytes of memory. Verification, while requiring a large one-time pre-computation for each circuit, description of the statement to be proven, then takes only 3 to 5 milliseconds and very little memory to verify. These numbers do not increase with the size of the circuit, so for more than a few thousand gates, SNARKs are the clear winner, even against our batch validation. Unfortunately, this comes at the cost of a trusted setup and novel cryptographic assumptions. There remains significant room for additional optimization of bulletproofs in both the prover and verifier. This power to prove arbitrary statements, whether by bulletproofs, SNARKs, or STARKs, has many applications. It can be used to implement ordinary digital signatures, including traceable ring signatures and threshold signatures, which for large rings is likely to be more efficient than traditional schemes, both in verification time and proof size. But it is not limited to this. It can be used to trustlessly sell Sudoku problems. It can be used in multi-party computations to prove that each party was acting honestly, even with secret data. In particular, during multi-signing schemes such as MuSig, this allows the use of deterministic nonce generation without requiring signers maintain state or be susceptible to nonce reuse attacks. It can be used to prove hash pre-images. This latter application, hash pre-images, is especially interesting because it can be leveraged to create zero-knowledge Merkle proofs, efficient proofs of inclusion in massive sets with millions or even billions of elements. We will explore this more in a future post. Conclusion. Bulletproofs are general zero-knowledge proofs, like SNARKs. They can be used to extend multi-party protocols such as multi-signatures or zero-knowledge contingent payments. Bulletproofs provide a much more efficient version of CT range proofs, confidential transactions, when batch verifying, over 23 times speed improvement. These range proofs can be aggregated within transactions with only logarithmic size increase. And with sufficient aggregation, such as in provisions, batch verification becomes over 130 times as fast as the old proofs. We would like to thank Boodle et al. For developing the inner product argument that led to all of this, as well as Benedict Bunce and Dan Bona, our co-authors, who did the bulk of the inventive work. We would also like to thank Sean Bow and Dyra Hopwood for their research on optimizing arithmetic circuits. All right, if you head to blockstream.com and just click on their blog, this is currently at the top of their blog page, and at the bottom of the article, there's a number of links. It's got the full paper linked, Stanford Applied Cryptography linked to bulletproofs, talk at BPACE 2018, which happened just, is a couple weeks ago now, by Benedict Bunce. And then Andrew Poestra talking at the Milano Bitcoin Meetup. It looks like there are slides available that you can go through. I'm clicking on this to see if this is, in fact, a video or if it's just a slide. Ended 28 days ago. Okay. No, it is a conversation in the actual video. Now, regardless of your political views of Blockstream and what narrative you want to jump on in regards to whether or not they're helping or hurting Bitcoin, the narrative that they're purposefully trying to destroy Bitcoin, when I read some of the stuff that they're working on and just am absolutely blown away, I don't get that narrative. I can completely understand that there are big blockers and there are small blockers, you know, quote unquote, who disagree with how to move this technology forward, but with the amount of code that they are pumping out, I just cannot wrap my head around anyone who thinks that they are trying to hurt Bitcoin. But that's just me, you know. That's my opinion. You form your own. I hope there are some nerds out there who can enjoy listening to this. I'm going to try to keep up to date on some of the more technical stuff, even though I know it's going to be a little drier and harder to digest for most people. But if you know somebody who will get something out of this, please retweet, share, let them know. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Cryptoeconomy and on SoundCloud at Cryptoeconomy. And that'll be all for today's Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, take it easy.